Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I am your host, Brian Rowan, with Logan Everett, kind of now as always. Coach Ward, welcome to the show, episode 86. Here we go.
We're back at it again. And it's been a while since episode 85. So there's probably quite a bit to catch up on. Pumped to see you guys again. Logan, it's great to see you. It was fun hanging out with you last time that all of us got together and me and you were able to hang out. So it's cool to get back together again.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you know, me and you were used to hanging out, and now we got to throw Brian in the mix since, you know, we don't see him when we hang out.
That's just, he's that's not just as used to hanging out.
Yeah, that's very true.
I didn't see the text. Sorry.
He just now read the text. So for the 8 people who are tuned in early for the show, Brian bailed on Logan and I in Raleigh. So we forgot about it. We forgive him, and we're not holding it against him. We'll just bring it up a lot over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. We had a great time, really.
It was really the best of times.
My wife says I have selective hearing. I think he has selective text message reading. Yeah. Claimed I didn't see your text message until the next morning. I mean, what can you do? I guess, if you don't want to be there, you don't want to be there.
It's good to be back together again. I guess we should talk some wrestling at some point. You know, Brian's he's gonna talk CrossFit eventually, I'm sure. And I don't know what else, but a lot's happened over the last month, Brian. So fill me in. Like, yeah, what's been going on with Army Wrestling, B-Row?
it's crazy. We haven't talked in like 36 days, but it feels like it's been like half a season.
Yeah.
Which it kind of has, or a quarter of a season. But
let me tell you, the group chats have been rolling for all the dual meets. So I know a lot of people are watching, which is good.
A lot, yeah. And I'd say the coverage has been good. We've been able to watch all the dual meets, you know, if we can't be there in person. So,
well, we've had quite a few. I mean, I guess since the last time we talked, we've took our trip to North Carolina. We had those dual meets down there. We came back. What did we have? We had Cornell and Bucknell at home. We were just on the road at Lehigh. We go on the road to Drexel here in a couple of days. So busy time of year with a lot going on.
Yeah, so I guess kind of rewinding back a little bit to the North Carolina trip, you know, what stands out? You know, something about the trip. I know, you know, a lot of the alumni, we were able to be at the match on Friday night.
So, I mean, that, you know, like nobody wants to hear about, you know, personally what was good, but that was a highlight for me to be able to see everybody back together again. I love that. So I got to see a lot of the guys that I've coached and, you know, guys that have come through the program since before I was there, B-Row, you and your classmates and some of your teammates. So it was good to see a strong Army Wrestling contingent together, you know, really strong crowds on the road all year. And that was no exception. I guess what stands out, it was a really good environment. NC State is a really good team. And we knew that going in. I thought we did, you know, kind of just okay. We let a couple matches get away. It's been a year of, you know, like steady but slow and kind of frustratingly slow at times improvement. And we saw some improvement there. And I think those matches, and I'm trying to remember back, you know, the details of each one, but I know – Bergen won, you know, starting us off with a decent win. Ben Pazook, I thought, looked really good. It's a quality opponent that he beat there at 174. And some other guys competed pretty well, you know, showed some signs of some things that you can grow on. But it was a really cool atmosphere. I mean, they did a great job with the home crowd. They built that into a pretty exciting place to compete and to wrestle. So the fans were into it. That was good. That's about all I remember about the NC State match, to be honest. I thought – you know, we got what we expected. They're a physical team. They hand fight hard. They chipped away on top a lot and got a lot of, you know, like slowed down some matches where we couldn't get escapes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a tough dual meet on the road. What, you know, I guess one thing that's exciting about that is they're coming back to our place next year. So the schedule's not set. The date's not finalized. But NC State's coming to West Point next year. That was part of the deal. And that's a good situation, a good thing we got going. So, we get a chance to have them at home next year. So we need a rowdy environment and we got to compete better. But it was good to see them, a quality team on the road. And then you know, we turned right around. I think 2 days later, we wrestled at Garner Webb, a Southern Conference school, a couple hours from Raleigh, completely different atmosphere. You know, Garner Webb is a small faith-based school, nothing like, you know, a big city urban campus like you would expect in Raleigh. So a completely different feel, kind of like out in the middle of nowhere, this campus. Reminded me of Wichita quite a bit, actually, where I used to coach. And they were a really tough team that just, you know, like, just give you a lot of effort in every single match. I don't know what we ended up doing there. We split matches or won 6-4. So, I mean, it was a close dual meet. We won, felt fortunate to get away with the win there. But I just remember that being probably tighter of a dual meet than we wanted. The team score was tighter. Matches were tighter. We were rotating some guys in and out of the lineup, trying some new things. And, you know, we got out of there with a win. I'd say we escaped there with a win. You know, it wasn't one that we felt great about leaving, but, you know, winning's better than losing. But it was a good trip, you know, to get a top five team and then a team that's, you know, not quite there where NC State's at, but that's going to wrestle you really hard and give you a lot of effort. So a lot of good experience there on that trip.
I think that's the way those go, though. Sometimes when you know, third dual meet of a long weekend, you know, kind of drags on. You might find yourself in a situation you didn't expect to be in.
Which, yeah, I mean,
it happens.
Yeah, it happens. And I think, you know, message to the guys is like, you got to respond to that when maybe you didn't expect, you know, the intensity to be here, but it is, you know, and you better raise your level up or exceed theirs. In some matches, we just didn't raise our level enough. Maybe they came out harder than we expected or wanted them to, it looked like, in a couple matches. But we had some guys, you know, respond really well. Pazuk did what he does. Nate Luquez is a machine. Ethan Bergen was in a scrap, you know, but he had to bring his intensity up. The guy was throwing every wrestling move that, you know, is like he's ever learned at him. And it was a fun match to watch and had to weather the storm and find a way to get bonus points there at the end. So, I mean, yeah, there were some good things to take away from it. But you're right, you know, when you're traveling and three dual meets in 3 days and team brings it in their home gym and they really want to beat you because that's an upset thing to be proud of, like, you got to be ready for those matches.
Yeah, I thought that kid threw everything at Bergen. I mean, you saw it all in that match. I was impressed to just be able to keep it together. I mean, he's so quality in terms of being in good positions most times, and that kid was just throwing all kinds of stuff at him.
I mean, so the kid was not afraid to send it. So it was absolutely. You know, like, yeah, it was an entertaining match.
Yeah. And then we went home two duels in a row. Was it back-to-back days?
Yeah, we had a week off. So this we scheduled our January this year a little bit different. So the guys that went to Soldier Salute in Iowa, most of them took the next week off. They did not go to Franklin and Marshall. Some did, but most didn't. And then, so they had that week off. Then we went to North Carolina. We come back with another weekend off. And then we hit two duels in a row with Cornell and Bucknell on back-to-back days. So we tried that intentionally this year to see what it's like, taking two weekends off in January and then doubling up on the other weekends. And
was
I like it.
Was that design kind of replicate maybe like the AIWA's, like 2 days in a row weigh-ins kind of thing? Was that some of the thought process or just scheduling worked out like that?
Both. I've had this idea for a while of why don't we just schedule that way throughout the spring semester of multiple competitions on the weekend, but every other weekend. And I've just never had the balls to like actually do it and try it. I've always thought it was a good idea because that's what you do when the tournaments that, you know, are the most important, your conference and NCAA tournaments. So it worked out this year where we could try it. But here's what I've learned with the scheduling. There's no secret formula to it. There's not. I mean, you look at some teams, a certain schedule, another team, another. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the individual mentalities on your team. Like whatever the guys on your team are made of, you know, like they're going to respond to whatever schedule you have. So there's no magic formula that the coach can do as far as scheduling this many days and this many days off. But to answer your question, it was an idea and it finally worked out to do it. And yeah, I mean, I like it. I would do it again if it works out.
I said, do you think it was better for keeping guys healthy and from that side?
I mean, you never know how many injuries you prevent, you know, like there's no way to measure it. we've been fortunate this year so far, and we hope it stays the same, that, you know, we haven't had any major injuries. We've dealt with, you know, you saw Sanchez missed a couple dual meets, and he's been dealing with a little something. He'll be back this week. But other than that, you know, the injuries have been just kind of like little things that you can shake off in a couple days. So we've been pretty fortunate that it doesn't hurt, you know, not making weight and wrestling every week, you know, because as you guys know, I mean, that's wear and tear on your body every time you do that.
Yeah, it's tough. Everyone weighs on you.
Right.
Weighs on you.
Yeah, and we saw in the Lehigh duel, you know, some shifts in the lineup a little bit. And I'd like to kind of go weight by weight, not specifically with that dual meet, but, you know, kind of where you see, you know, the wrestlers at and where they need to be kind of for the, you know, rest of the year. I know it seems like there's still some weight class battles at some of the weight classes, just by, you know, looking at who's in the lineup in some weight classes. But
yeah, I mean, we can, if you want to go back or if there's any questions about the Bucknell and Cornell matches, I'll discuss all of that, and Lehigh as well. But I can go through each weight class right now and kind of give you an idea. 25, Bergen's our guy. And I think what you've seen out of him this year is early on in the year when he was nobody and there was no expectations, you know, he was really kind of a gunslinger and you saw more points in matches. But, you know, like he's also wrestled some guys lately that are really like holding points, like that just they're it. So Bergen's had a lot of low scoring matches, and his opponents that he's wrestled, if you look not just against him, but against a lot of other people, have had really low scoring matches. So he's kind of had this where it's been hard to get in a rhythm in matches and get a lot of points on the board. He's a lot better wrestler right now than he was in November, and he'll get an opportunity. People will start wrestling a little bit more. And he'll get an opportunity to put more points on the board, but he's learning how to open people up and score points against people whose job is to kind of keep the match close. He's our guy, 33. It's not settled yet. It's going to be Trainer or Franco. We've seen them both rotate through here in the spring semester. And I mean, the bottom line is there, you know, we like both of them a lot. And, you know, neither one has really separated themselves yet. I think they both beat each other in competition, and it's been very similar results. Somebody's got to step up and show that they can win matches when it's going to matter the most. So that one's unsettled. Sanchez is our guy at 41. And he's missed a couple of dual meets just because he's banged up. We've had Eddie Hummel and Shane Persley both rotate in. Those are kind of like second and third string. They could go back and forth there. And Tyler Morris is another guy there at 141 that's, you know, done really well. He's just been banged up too, so he hasn't been wrestling. But Sanchez is our guy, and he's back. He'll be wrestling this weekend. He, you know, the same thing at several of our weights, and 41's one of them, where he's going to have to wrestle his way into the national tournament at the EIWAs. Like, he got hurt and wasn't able to wrestle Bucknell and Cornell. Those matches would have really helped. He wasn't able to come back for Lehigh. So we missed opportunities to beat ranked guys. He's probably gonna have to wrestle his way into the tournament at the conference. So it's important for him that he's excited about that opportunity, and he's wrestling really hard and finds a way to do it. 49, you know, we have a battle there too with McDaniel and Williams. Similar story to 33. McDaniel decided to go down to 49 after the first semester. In his first tournament back, Soldier's Salute was a little rocky. You know, his first time down to 49, he was kind of sick over the break. But he's been wrestling quite a bit better lately at 49. And so both him and Williams are going to get shots from this point on to figure out who's going to be the guy. I like them both. I love the way Matt wrestled against Bucknell, you know, in a high-pressure situation. And one of the two guys had to crack, and it wasn't Matt Williams. He got the job done. But Trey needs a chance too. You know, Matt's had November, December, the first half of January to beat some ranked guys and haven't had as many wins there as we wanted. So Trey's going to get a couple opportunities himself.
I told Brian that was one of the better matches that I saw all weekend to include some really big dual meets with Matt Williams against Bucknell.
Dude, the whole match was a scramble.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was better because he won, but
yeah, much better. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot better. The entire match was a scramble, dual meet on the line, and you know, he was able to keep his composure and got it done. Okay, 57, Nate Luquez, he's the guy. he's a bubble rankings kind of guy too. Like, I mean, he has one bad loss on the year when you look at his record. And the guy had a great weekend from VMI when Nate lost to him. Outside of that, everybody that's beat him is in the rankings, and four of those losses are guys in the top 10. So Nate is right there, but listen, close losses aren't going to get it done. You know, like, you got to beat somebody. So Nate's going to have to wrestle his way in. I think he'll be very close on the rankings and with an RPI, but he's going to have to wrestle really well at the conference tournament. And he knows that. I think Harkins at 65 is the same, where, you know, a lot of people that have watched Dalton, and especially that know his background, there's a lot of expectations there with him. And it's frustrating at times watching, because he hasn't been able to bring out the performances that he knows he's capable of. So he's been frustrated. We've been frustrated for him, but not really, like, we're not down on him. And I think he's finally starting to make some changes in the way that he wrestles that are going to help. He wrestled hard against Cornell. He got a forfeit against Bucknell, but he put a lot of effort in his match against Cornell, where I don't think he's been tired in a match in a long time until then. And that's a good sign that, like, okay, finally you're putting enough effort to feel tired in a wrestling match. You're supposed to be tired, and we're finally seeing that. So he's going to have to wrestle his best, wrestle his way in. Pazook at 74, I think he's on track. He's wrestling well. He looked good against Lehigh. Hit a couple really nice.
Wrestled about a million times.
Yeah, they've wrestled a lot. Familiar opponents, and Ben did a good job at getting a takedown in the third and putting a tough ride on the guy to separate the score late. So, you know, like, I mean, Ben's got a big matchup this weekend, you know, an EIWA finals rematch from 2 years ago with the guy from Drexel.
That guy's still there?
Dude, hey, Drexel's got, there's no offense, just they got an old lineup. Like, if you start looking through, fifth year at 25.
I went to high school with some of those guys.
Yeah, I think it's sixth year at 65, fourth or fifth year at 74, fifth year at 84. You know, they have some veteran fifth year at heavyweight, or at 97. There's just some veteran guys on their team, you know. And so, yeah, they have an experienced team. 84, Som, again, knocking on the door, some good wins, some close, like, loss. You know, we got to tighten things up at the end of matches there, you know. Just but he's certainly capable, and he's going to give you 100% every time. You know, he's going to fight like hell. So, I mean, I keep repeating myself, but it's the same. These guys all have to wrestle their way into the tournament. 97, it's not settled. We have Swartz, Lawrence, and Wolfgang Frabel there. Like, we'll see either Wolfie or Swartz wrestle against Drexel this weekend. I don't know who yet. And the same at heavyweight. Cole Hoffer has been banged up and not able to compete, but he's back, and so we expect to. I mean, saying he's back, I don't know if he's back this weekend, but we expect him to be back before the end of the year. So, it's a lineup where, look, you look at right now, you got two guys that are in the rankings that, are probably very solid, you know, guys to make the NCAA tournament. And that's 2 out of 10, man. Like, 8 guys are going to have to wrestle their way into the tournament. And there's a few that are right on the bubble. And there's a few that got a lot of work to do. Like, they're going to have to really be great that weekend. So, I mean, that's where we're at as a team. And, you know, like, we got less than 4 weeks now to get ready for that tournament. So it's crunch time, and these guys need to be excited about doing it.
Have you looked ahead at what the weight classes look like at the IWA tournament for some of the folks that have to? Like, you know, it's one thing if you have to wrestle your way into the tournament and there's 3 spots versus if there's 6 or 7, you know what I mean? Like, have you looked, I haven't looked that in depth at the EIWA brackets to kind of see, like, who's definitely going to get spots. Cause usually it's only like the top really 20 or so ish that earn automatic bids. And then I feel like maybe 20 to 23. But I feel like if you're in the 20s, it's not set that you really earn that slot for the conference though, right?
It's like the top 27 or 28. Anywhere from 5 to 6 at large bids, 5 to 6 or 7 at large bids per weight class. So out of the 33, take 7 away. top 26, 27. And that's, it's not as cut and dry as saying, like, look at the coach's rank and here's who it is. You have your RPI and your winning percentage in there as well. So, no, we just did this week, just kind of went through a little bit looking like, okay, each weight, what we have to do, where are we at? But I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head, you know, at some of those weights, what we have to do. The EIWA is, it's pretty solid this year. So there's some weights that have, you know, quite a few qualifiers that, so there's spots there to steal, but we're going to have to go out there and do it. Like we're going to have some good performances that weekend for sure.
I'm pulling up the, I was pulling up the like rankings just to go through, just to have an idea.
I mean, when you start looking at the spots, like when you start looking at EIWA guys that are ranked anywhere from 23 to 30th in the country, something like that, or 33rd, God, it's close, man. Like if somebody's ranked 25th, you're like, shit, like we got to be, yeah, we have to beat them. Like, what are we, you got to beat that guy, you know, like. You're not talking like you don't have to beat Yanni, you know, you're talking, there's a big difference in 25th and first, you know, like it's people that, this is no disrespect to opponents, but it's like, these are people you have to beat if you want to be who we want to be. Like you gotta beat those guys. So, I couldn't tell you who they are. I just know that the opportunities are there. If we're wrestling well, then we should be able to do it.
Yeah. I was just looking at like 25 is deep.
25 is like, it's usually in the EIWA, there's usually not, it's not that deep, but it's, yeah, it's good. It's good bracket.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's a lot of guys that Burton's had close matches with. Like, granted, that's been a lot of the last month is close matches for him. But I mean, I thought the Lehigh match was, you know, a situation where he kind of found himself in on the same attack that he was on earlier in the match and then finished it that time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was like, I was happy to see that because I was like, you know, the first time, like, I thought he was going to get it then and didn't, and then figured it out the second time to win the match, yeah. which was huge. Which, I mean, but every match for him, you know, looking forward to the conference tournament is that type of guy. Like,
yeah. I mean, even the guys that aren't in the rankings, like, the American kid's probably not going to be in the rankings. He's quality, you know, like, he can give you a match. Franklin and Marshall kid, he can give you a match. And there's others out there too that are getting, like, you can't sleep on anybody. You got to be ready to go.
I mean, let's see. Other thing I wanted to add, I know Brian and I were talking about this in text message, but we found ourselves saying all the time, we wish that we could start dual meets at 57 just because we love to watch Luque's.
Yeah,
I think he wrestles so damn hard, which, you know, it's great. Like, it sets a tone, I feel like. And it's like, sometimes we find ourselves saying, I wish we could start there. Not that Ethan's not doing a great job, but it's just like, man, he gets people going. I feel like he gets us going. I know that.
Yeah. Nate Luquez is like, if you want to talk about anybody, like getting every single ounce out of what they have, that's him. And he started a couple dual meets for us, I think, and I don't mind it when he does. So we like it too. He brings a lot of energy.
Yeah, that would be that's my shout out of the last 35 days.
Okay.
he gets the Everett Allhart Award for January.
I feel like, Bazook has always been kind of there, but I feel like he's been more offensive this season than he was last year.
I think so too. I think he's maybe figuring some things out that are helping him create some you know, maybe the same offense, but he's creating it in different ways now, which is what you got to do. You know, like, you've got things that you're really good at, and people might be able to shut down a little bit of what you do, you know, with a certain thing, but you got to find other ways to do it. That's part of growing up. It's part of maturing as a wrestler. It's part of figuring things out. He's starting to do that. So he's a handful, man. Like, I mean, he is so good. So when he's figuring those things out, he's pretty dangerous out there on the mat.
Yeah, he's turned it up. That last takedown against the Lehigh kid, just, it looked so easy. I mean, he made it look so easy. I was like, oh my God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how? Even the position he was in, he's so strong when he gets underneath you. So, yeah. And sometimes you just have to will your way to, you know, to those takedowns. So he wanted that match and he went out and got it.
Yeah, I was just I'm watching it again because it's on the recap of like I'm just going through the match recaps.
Okay.
And whoever is doing the match recaps is doing a good job of they're like embedding all the Twitter videos in the
oh cool
recap so you can see like it's really like you know scoring sequences and whatnot, but it's pretty cool just to whoever's doing those, give them a shout out because those are cool.
That's our girl Emily. Shout out to Em for putting in the work. She was on the road trip with us at Lehigh too. So she's a first year SID, which is your sports information director. So she's like learned wrestling. She's in it. She's working hard to get the word out. So hopefully she's one of our dozen listeners and she's getting the shout out.
Yeah, either way, you can just let her know.
Right. yeah, what else? I mean, what I don't know if there's questions from the audience or if you guys are curious of other things, like I'll talk all things about the program and you know the guys where we're at, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean
I do have a question though.
Yeah, you
got a lot. No, I just you know, like in a time like January, like how are you mixing in like recruiting with I feel like January is always just busy, like you know, this is like maybe a unique year, like we talked about with a couple weeks off or like a week here and there off. But like, how do you find time to mix that in on top of?
I guess the easy answer is like you make the time. We've been hitting local events in January. Like I went to a dual meet a couple weeks ago. I went to St. Joe's in Bergen down in Jersey. It was awesome dual meet. But, you know, like you can find some things that are within a couple hours drive and check some local events out. Scott Green has been on, like he's piggybacked our last, like our Lehigh road trip. He went and watched some matches before and after. So he was somewhere the night before. Then after the dual meet, he drove separately from the team and he went somewhere else. And he went to a high school gym and watched wrestling after that dual meet. So just kind of like piggybacking on the trips that you're already making. And I mean, Scott Green is our associate head coach and recruiting coordinator. So, that's his focus is to make sure that we're spending the time that we need to on recruiting. It's one of the most important things we do. So we're in good hands with him being in charge of it. And he, like I said, you know, he does such a good job at things that I get recaps and updates, you know, I don't need to micromanage what he's doing. You know, he says, here's what I need to do. And he goes and does it.
Well, if you find yourself in Virginia Beach, let me know. We'll play some golf.
Virginia Beach, I am going to be there like the week after the NCAA tournament.
I'll yes, be here.
Senior Nationals. You're going to be there?
Well, I mean, I live like 45 minutes, hour from there.
Okay.
But there's leave, a lot of
maybe,
good golf.
Maybe I'll leave a day early and we'll have to get out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good golf. In Williamsburg. So.
And if any of our listeners want to be in Virginia Beach for NHSCA too, come on, we'll make a foursome. We'll get out there and have a good time.
Am I invited too?
Yeah, you'll probably.
I mean, you'll see the text like a few days later.
I actually have Mawas that weekend. I'm competing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Brian's like, sorry, I didn't watch the episode until later. So you were on the episode, B-Ro. You know this.
Actually I was texting Scott because I found out Navy was recruiting some guy in Pennsylvania that the guy wants to go to West Point and he thought he hadn't reached out, but I talked to Scott and Scott was like, no, I've already talked to the guy.
that's how we recruit right there is, you know, we check on all leads. So that's good to know. Offline, or you can text me now, send me the kid's name. All right. Maybe not on air, but make sure we do later. Yeah, what else? What else is up? What else are the B-Hall dying to know?
We have quite a few questions come in from the Instagram.
Okay.
If Brian wants to rattle them off.
Yeah, I mean, there's some wrestling, some non-wrestling specific ones, but Patrick Maiolo asked, you know, with the postseason right around the corner, how do you train the boys to perform to their utmost potential? Any changes to the practice structure to promote confidence and performance in competition? You could probably talk an hour about this.
You should probably speak specifically to, like, you know, the physiology of the athletes.
So, Dr. Maiolo, what a good question. So, you know, I mean, that was the message to the team today. after practice, and we had a smoker today too. I mean, it was a good one. Was you're a really good team. I'll tell you a couple of things that I've told the team, you know, this month or this week recently is one is you don't have to get any better. You're good enough. You know, and a lot of people use, oh, I got to get better. Everybody's got to get better. Stop saying it. Like, we know that. I got to get better too. But like, or you want to get, but you don't need to get any better to win the matches that you're losing. You know, it's a crutch. Oh, I got to get better. No, you don't. Like, if the guy beat you by 10 points, you probably have to get better. If the guy beat you by two or three, you don't have to get any better. You have to be tougher. You have to be better at winning matches and not wrestling matches. You know, like, and a lot of the difference in wrestling and winning is just being freaking tough and mean and just showing that you want it more than somebody else. So that's one of the things that we have to do is we have to bring the confidence that will allow you to win those matches. And so where does that confidence come from? You know, it comes from the wrestling room, but not just showing up to the wrestling room. The confidence comes from knowing that you've given everything you've got every single day. Like, the confidence doesn't come from winning wrestling matches in practice. You know, like, you can win a 1-point match in practice and nobody gives a shit. You know, like, the confidence needs to come from knowing you gave everything you got, whether you had a good day or a bad day in the practice room, because guess what? You're going to have both. Like, there's going to be some days you go in the wrestling room and you're crushing it and everything is awesome. And some days you go into the wrestling room and like, you feel like you can't do anything right. But as long as you're giving everything that you got, you're always going to have the right to feel confident when you step out there on the mat. So I think it's our job as coaches just to remind them of that, you know, that they haven't taken shortcuts. We haven't let them take shortcuts and they've been putting in the work and they need to believe in it now. You know, there's a time to train and there's a time to trust. And right now it's a time to trust. They've done the work and they need to believe in it. And then when they step on the mat in competition, it needs to show that they believe in it.
You're getting me jacked up.
So maybe that's a little bit of the answer to Pat Miolo's question about how we, you know, how do we maybe train them this time, you know, of year to help them. If wrestling's 90% mental, then, you know, our training needs to be 90% mental too.
Well, I think the confidence thing is like, it's hard. And this is like maybe a perspective looking back, but they're doing so much more than everyone else is doing. Like at other schools, like, but it's like the whole picture, right? Like you're doing class, like you're taking way more class hours than other kids. Like you're doing so much more in terms of like setting a standard of like, what is, you know, what is excellence compared to these other schools. And it's like, you don't recognize that at the time. I think you look at it as a burden sometimes because it can feel that way, but you're doing so much more than all these other kids at all these other schools. Like, and if you could picture it and put it together, it's like, it would be huge for your confidence, but it's so hard, you know, when you're in it, just because, you know, you have so much to do. Like you just can't see it sometimes until you're removed from it.
Well, it's easy to use it as a crutch too, you know.
Whatever. It's easy. Yeah, sure. You know, but like, it's easy for average people to do. You know, like we can't even think that way. So. If somebody's using their challenges as a crutch, you know, they need to go play handball or something, get the hell off of our team. You know, not that we don't ever deal with that, but it doesn't belong.
You guys both mentioned confidence. There's been a lot of chatter in the wrestling community recently with a lot of the bigger programs, like not opening up and not shooting and scoring. And a lot of people in the Twitter world, you know, are basing it on confidence. You know, do you see any kind of correlations to that? Not specifically necessarily with your guys in the program, but like, I don't know, there's a lot of talk of, you know, scoring's down, people aren't as aggressive, you know, they're not as confident. When you guys both mentioned that, it made me just think back to that, what I've been seeing in the
tournament. I mean, you know, the Penn State and Iowa dual meet, I think, is after that. You know, there weren't very many takedowns and very many points in those matches, but that was maybe like an anomaly. A lot of the wrestling that I've watched this year has been pretty exciting. Now there are situations where the rules are completely effed up and allow for really boring situations to happen for way too long. But you know, sometimes when you get athletes on the mat, like it's hard. Takedowns are hard to come by, and refs don't call neutral like traditional stalling very much anymore. It's only out of bounds stalling, and so when you're not calling traditional stalling calls and takedowns aren't happening, well, they're not going to happen anymore, like, or any quicker if you're not calling stalling. Maybe that's part of it, but I haven't heard much about that, you know, maybe, you know, a couple of days after that dual meet. But I mean, I think wrestling's in a pretty good spot. There's some major rules things that I would like to see changed, but it's not, I mean, the wrestling's, by and large, it's a pretty decent product right now. Yeah, confidence will go into to wrestling hard and get to some attacks and scoring points. But, you know, I can't speak for other teams. That's not my place or my job. With us, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a deal. Like, the more confident you are, then usually the more points you're putting up on the board. And so, like I said, this time of year, it's important that our guys wrestle and show a lot of confidence in competition.
Well, I think that I wouldn't even say that, like, it's Penn State, Iowa specifically probably is not, I don't see that as a confidence thing on either side. I see that as, like, the margin of victory is pretty slim sometimes. Yeah. And it's like, you might spend an entire match waiting to get in a position where you feel like you've got a good setup finally. And that's, like, I think that's what you see there more than, like, a confidence thing.
Yeah, like, nobody cares in football if the game's 21-14.
Yeah.
That's three scores to two. You know, that's basically 3-2 if a score wasn't worth 7 points in football. So, I mean, wrestling has its moments like that too, you know. So,
Well, I think sometimes a lot of points means a lot of mistakes, and there wasn't a lot of mistakes going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Across the board there.
Right.
What else, B-Ro?
Moving in. So this is also kind of broad, and you kind of already answered it, but there may be other answers that you want to apply to this. But Emmanuel Ramos asks, what lessons / values have you been emphasizing as you draw closer to NCAAs?
I don't know. Lessons, values. I think, yeah, I probably just touched on it just a few minutes ago. But, I mean, what you know about when you go into the postseason is whatever happened before, you know, it just makes –
Is it me?
I was like, at least his mouth's not open.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you guys there? You froze on me.
We were like, wait, I was like, you're in mid thought. Yeah, we lost that last part.
Are we back now? You're gonna have to chop all that out. Are we good?
I think we're good now. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, I was saying that. What you've done during the season, it just, you know, it helps set you up for where you're at in the postseason and helps you make a run, but it doesn't guarantee you anything. And it doesn't determine what kind of postseason you're going to have. So, you know, you control the things that you can. And when you do that, you control your own destiny this time of year as you go into the postseason. So, listen, you got to be excited about it. You got to remind yourself of why you chose to do this in the first place. You chose to do it for these types of matches and these types of moments that you're going to have a championship moment. And you need to see it. You need to visualize it. You need to be thinking about these things because you're going to have the opportunities to capture them. So, yeah, I think those are things that we talk a lot about, you know, this time of year, is taking advantage of big opportunities and big moments and relishing those things and don't back down from them.
There we go. Kevin Lieberts asked, this kind of is a good segue into all the other things tying in for fans in the next couple of weeks. But he's asking, will the setup for the Navy match be similar to the Iowa match with cadets on both sides of the mat?
Yeah, we hope so. We're ahead of where we were for the Iowa match on ticket sales. So that's a positive thing. It's a holiday weekend and a lot of cadets are on pass that week. So I don't think we're going to have quite the same cadet attendance as we did earlier in the year, but setup should look very similar where we're able to put people down on the floor, give a lot of people front row seats, and we'll have a couple thousand tickets sold. So it'll be a good event. And hopefully the atmosphere is the best it's ever been.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me, there's quite a few opportunities for fans and alumni to get together before, you know, events coming up. I saw in the Army Insider's email went through the, you know, the Navy reception prior, yep, the NWA reception and NCAA reception.
So starting with the Navy match, it's in a couple weeks at home. Yeah, we're going to have a West Point Wrestling Club social in the Kimsey Center, which is connected to Crystal Arena where we compete. I think at 1 p.m. the dual meets at 2, so that kind of social is going to start at about 1 p.m. Food and drink in there, and a chance to hang out for all of our West Point Wrestling Club supporters and fans to get together before the dual meet. And then again, we're having another social. I think it's on Sunday afternoon at the EIWA tournament in between the morning and afternoon sessions there. And then we're having our social in Tulsa at the NCAA tournament as well. So we're trying to build, you know, you've heard me talk about this a lot, the sense of community around the program, and a chance to bring a lot of people together. So we're hoping to do that. We're planning on it. And so if you're planning on making the Navy match, you can go to the westpointwrestlingclub.org, check out, sign up for the social there, and I'll come up and talk to you before the dual meet. The same for the EIWA and NCAA tournaments as well.
Yeah, I'll add on the socials. The social we had in Raleigh was awesome. I think if you have the chance to go and you haven't been to one, even if you have been to one, like, go again, because they're awesome. There's a really good time. And as I think that I read this correctly, that the Navy social is going to have ice cold beer, I heard.
I didn't read it, but listen, I don't think we're patting anybody down on their way in the building. So yeah. if you think that we won't have what you want, you know, I'm not telling you to break the rules, but if you got to bring the party, bring the party. Yeah, whatever Todd Messett has set up for it, it's going to be great. I'm sure of it.
I got to pull it up because I'm looking. Because I was pretty sure. That's great. That's a good way to get the juices flowing, get people talking, and
yeah. And I'll come up and I'll give a little chalk talk or whatever, you know, before the duel, and break down about who's wrestling, what weights we're starting at, you know, those kinds of things. So yeah, it should be a good time.
I think that was really all from the next. You hit all the socials, which is, I mean, we got a lot of them, which I think is awesome. It's just more opportunities for people to get connected. What do you think about, I mean, you probably are pumped about it being in Tulsa.
I mean, okay, so everybody's nervous about Tulsa.
Yeah.
The arena last year was so sick. You know,
so nice. I didn't want to leave, mainly because it's a piece of crap, but.
Right, the arena was sick. I think they're going to be prepared in Tulsa. I think they know what they're up against. So my hope is that they know, look, that airport has never seen this many flights trying to come in and out in that short amount of time. Like, I mean, flights are bonkers. We were looking here because my family was going to go, but I don't think they are. Cause I mean, direct flights to Tulsa were like $700-$800 a piece. And this was weeks ago, like not tonight. Tonight they're like a grand. So yeah, that part of it is tough for fans to fly into Tulsa and then trying to get out of Tulsa. You know, you have 15,000 people trying to leave Tulsa on Sunday.
You can always fly to Chicago and drive down with Dave Clollinger. My buddy's doing that.
Stop. They're doing that? No, I'm not.
Because the flight was $900 from Philly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shit, you could fly into Little Rock, too, and drive over. But who wants to do that, you know? I mean, you're going there to go to Tulsa. So, no, I think the town's going to be ready. You know, they know wrestling in that state. I think they're going to be ready to rock and roll. The hotels are pretty close to the venue for the competitors. So, I'm not worried about all that. I just, you know, I want to take 10 people there. That's what we're worried about.
As a confirmation, does say Sunday, February 19th, 1 p.m., class of 1956 walkway.
Yeah.
Appetizers, ice cold long neck beer, and soda. It does say that.
All right. No short necks.
No short necks allowed.
Let's go.
If you want short necks, it's a BYOB.
Yeah.
You can find yourself at Benny Havens before the.
Yeah, bring your own red stripe.
Short necks.
Ryan Hetrick, who's doing big things with his Chasing Greatness mentorship company right now, he replied to your Twitter. Ryan was asking, what's the biggest lesson we've learned this year? And it's a great question, and I've thought about it quite a bit over the past couple hours. I don't know, like, you learn something every year, and you learn more than one thing. I love my staff and assistant coaches. Like, they've been phenomenal, and I'm relearning how important that is, you know, to have them. That's been a real fun, you know, kind of a thing to learn and work with an entirely new staff. But I guess the biggest thing is, you know, if you look at our team, 25, 33, 41, 49, 57, 65, 84, 97, heavy. So 9 out of the 10, it's their first year going through a full season. They've never started for a full season. And even Ben, you know, is like, this may be the most Ben's wrestled in a regular season at 74. So it could be like 10 out of 10, you know, it's their first time going through a full season being the starter. And you kind of relearn just how tough it is. In that, just having some Sanchez is a good example. He's a junior that's been on the team and in the room for a while, and he's awesome and he works hard. But it's still different when you step out there and you're the guy for a full year. And so that's been fun to watch these guys grow. And they've grown a lot, learning what that's like. So, you know, you constantly learn and relearn some of the same things over and over. But that's been, I think, something that stood out to me this year is just relearning how tough it is for someone to do it for the first time. And then you have a lot of respect for the people that can do it for the first time, and, you know, and bring it, kick ass. So, yeah, that'd probably be my answer to his question.
That's a great answer. But on the more serious side, I think really maybe leveraging the NIL, you know, sphere might be a better way to spend the time.
If you could write your congressman and let's work on that.
Oh, they can't do anything there.
Yeah. It's a Department of Defense thing. We can't do NILs. So
shocker.
But listen, Hetrick firmly believes that that's going to change at some point. And he can bring
the change.
He's working on it. Listen, Ryan Hetrick is working on it. But I wouldn't be shocked if it did eventually. It's not going to change next year, but maybe eventually that will, you know, want to be one of the changes that comes down the pike to us.
I need to get one of those Chasing Greatness ties that he has.
You need to get a Chasing Greatness tattoo, B-Row. What are you talking about? You live it or not? Right next to your B-Haw. B-Haw, right there.
Oh, we'll see. I there's a few tattoos I've got to get lined up.
Well, let's stop there before we overshare, B-Row. that's the questions that I had from the audience. What else is out there that anybody might want to hear about where we're at right now?
Well, this is more on a personal side of you, but Rudy Chalednik wants to know what days you're coming fishing.
Yes, Rudy texted me. I'm going to text him back right now.
I don't think the listeners know about Rudy's new employment situation and the opportunities that are out there for our listeners to learn how to fly fish.
Well, shout it out. So Rudy has, what is the name of his outfitter? What's the name of his guide service?
Ozark Hills Anglers.
He takes people fly fishing on the White River in Arkansas and some lake in Missouri as well. And the name of it slipping my mind, but
Lake Tamiami.
There you go. So anyways, I bid and won a guided fly fishing trip with him. Yeah. Hey, imagine that. That was a legit bid and win.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anybody could have bid on that. If you wanted that here, you got to outbid me. That was on our website for the golf outing. That's cold hard cash. And I think me and my brother are going to go there to the White River in Arkansas in the next couple of months, and he's going to take us fly fishing there. So I'm going to connect with Rudy. I'm texting him right now, and we're finally going to talk tomorrow. That may be one of the best questions I got all night.
I got one more thing to add. Is this a happy birthday to you since the last time we spoke?
My man, I'm a year older.
I'm sure it feels great. The body's feeling good. I mean, your performance is looking good on the assault bike.
So I had this in my head.
You didn't lose a step there.
For a while, I was like, you know what? I don't want to just turn 40. Like, I don't want to just wake up and be 40. I got to do something challenging. So I was like, what can I do? I'm not going to run 40 miles. That's out. I was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, so anyways, 40 miles on the assault bike, let's get it. So I was building up to this thing. I had it in my head for a couple months before. So I did train a little bit for it, and then just got up that morning, knocked it out, got it done.
That's solid. I mean, what did you do, like three rides to work up to it?
The most I did before it was 30 miles. So I'd done a couple marathons and won 30 miles. And then just that morning I was like, you know, like if I can do 30, I can do 40. So, yeah.
I've been doing a couple occasionally, like when I just want to remember, just humble myself a little bit. I just get on there, do an hour.
Yeah.
And that's so.
Do an hour 40, hour 44, 20 or something like that was what it took for 40 miles.
Well, you probably beat me, but.
Well, you know, you got a few years before you're 40, so you don't have to try it here for a few years, but.
Do you think the Echo bikes are harder than the assault bikes?
Listen, I've never done it, but Brian's a CrossFitter, so he's going to jump in here and be like, yeah, they're so much harder. No, I don't. I think they're both hard. I don't give a shit. When you're given everything you got, they're both hard. But I've actually never done an Echo bike.
Did you see what the, there was a 5-minute challenge on the assault bike. Or the Echo bike, you know, whatever one.
Oh, the winner did like.
Did you see what the winning calories for 5 minutes was?
No.
163.
That's moving, huh?
That's like.
Yeah.
That's moving for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So that's 30 calories a minute. You know, 32. That's yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, not gonna be me.
Yeah.
Not gonna. Who was that? Chandler? Was that Chandler Smith?
They showed like the video of it, but they showed like the first like 20, 30 seconds and then the last like 20, 30 seconds. Man, this guy was moving the whole, I don't know how you could sustain that.
I know Chandler couldn't do that.
No.
I mainly say that because I want to see him try it and see if he can. If I tell him he couldn't do it, he'll probably do it just to make me wrong.
There you go, Chandler. We're going to find out whether he's one of our listeners or not. Or whether he's tuned out. Let's be honest. There's not many people listening at this point. We started out strong. We're down to the diehards that are like, will you please just talk about wrestling again?
Yeah, people got to work and then like didn't turn it on after work again.
Oh.
So for the diehards that are out there though, so I am in a, so I'm in the thick of it for youth wrestling right now. So it's like all I think about. And I am, you know, in the middle of a war with some wrestling coaches in the league, because I'm trying to make headlocks and cement mixers illegal in the first period in our league matches. These are the problems I'm going through right now.
I don't have to ask why you would do that. I think that makes sense. Why any youth coach would say that, just like in soccer, you can't slide tackle. Like there's rules, you know, you can't do things until later on. Yeah. I mean, to me, I don't even have to ask why. It makes
it makes perfect sense. But there's like, you know, a handful of coaches at certain clubs who are like, no, we teach our kids to hit headlocks first year wrestling because that's how they're all going to win matches.
That's fair. I mean, everybody wants to, you know, I think it's a good idea, B-Ro. Like, I don't think anybody's dumb for not agreeing to do it, but I think that it's a good idea. I would agree to do it if that helps make you feel better. Hey, guess what? We're rambling now, but our youth club here at West Point now is up to like 20 something kids.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like last year it was like 6. And Coach Overheiser is crushing it. So yeah, we're like at 20 something kids now. West Point Youth Club. It's awesome.
I'm trying to send all of my soldiers' kids to wrestling. Right now, they're like, yeah, we got our kids in Taekwondo. I was like, that's cool, but they should just go to wrestling instead.
Yeah, that's an order.
Yeah.
And if they're looking for a wrestling camp, check out our camps this summer. We're back up and running. That's big news.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Another plug.
Are you full capacity in terms of how many campers?
All of them. Bring them all.
That's great.
Yep. We'll make room. So if either of you want to come be a counselor, let me know.
Will do. Is Butts coming again?
Yeah. Yep. Head counselor, Aaron David Butler.
Head counselor.
Head counselor. Yep.
All right.
Well, good talk, man. That's like right at an good. Hour. So anybody, if anybody stuck with us for an hour to hear that, oh my gosh, let us know. We'll send you a t-shirt and an apology for sticking around for so long. But man, it's been a fun year. I know that, you know, there's been some frustrations and we haven't always had the performances that we've wanted. There's, you know, like, listen, it's February and we're still trying to figure out a couple weight classes. You know, that's kind of where we're at. But when you're looking at, like I said, 9 out of the 10 guys, it's their first year going through a Division I season. And we have one senior in the lineup. And so this is kind of what you expect with an inexperienced team. And we're not even thinking about next year yet. But there will be a lot to be excited about that. But right now, it's like, this is still a very capable team. We have two guys in the rankings and a lot of others that have been in and out, which means they can be in it at the end of the year. And we're excited about that. Look forward to sharing that journey.
Awesome. Well, it's a good place to wrap up. Coach, as always, appreciate you hopping on. Listeners, thanks for listening in as we rambled on for almost an hour. Logan, appreciate all your insight as well.
Yeah.
Well, good night, guys.
Thank you.
Be y'all.
Behold.
Thanks for tuning in to the B-Haw Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, bhaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.